With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Please get home safely. It is The Drive. Looks like the snow has kind of cleared off just a little bit. Certainly not snowing anymore. Everybody get home safely. Stay warm tonight. We got a lot to get into in the 5 o'clock hour. We've got another chance for you to win $1,000 in our national cash contest that could certainly pay for a lot of heat. So be listening coming up in just a little bit. We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We also got to talk about Kansas basketball, which you guys know is my favorite topic. Hit it, Brandon.
From the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It is now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. All right, guys, the KU Big 12 streak is more at risk today than it has been in quite some time, due in part to this.
The Kansas win streak over the Texas Longhorns has ended at 10. Final score tonight from the Frank Irwin Center. The Texas Longhorns 73, the 11th-ranked Kansas Jayhawks 63.
That audio courtesy of the Texas Radio Network. This is just the second time in the Bill Self era that KU started the year 5-3 or worse in Big 12 play. Guys, do you think this is the year that the Big 12 actually gets away from Kansas?
The other year they won, right?
Yeah.
We just see this time and time again. Sometimes it bothers me that I feel like I trust Bill Self a little bit more than KU fans. You got to trust that your Hall of Fame coach is going to make the proper adjustments and do what needs to be done between now and March to get things right. Sometimes I don't like the conversation we have about KU. It doesn't matter how they're playing right now. No team can go to the Final Four right now. It matters how they're playing in a month from now. And we typically see they'll have that breakthrough moment, whether it's Saturday against Texas Tech, whether it's next Tuesday against Kansas State. I still firmly believe that this Kansas team, they're just one Bill Self curse out closed meeting. They're just one thing away from turning this season. They're not that far off to me. So I would still be optimistic. I'd still be hopeful if I was a KU fan.
So the KU team that's lost three of their last four and their three conference losses are to unranked teams, one of which didn't have a win in the conference on the road to West Virginia. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this team, and I think it's legitimate. And this isn't a typical KU perspective where, woe is me, the streak's going to end. I still believe they got a chance, and they probably will win the conference championship again. But I do think there's legitimate concerns here. You got one senior on this team, and it's LeGerald Vick, and a guy that Bill Self didn't even want on this team. He gave his number away. You've got guards that aren't playing that great. You've got new guys. You don't have the veteran guard play that you've had, three of the last 4 years now? So, yeah, I think there's a legitimate reason to be concerned. Like, this team coming into the season, you look at the Dedrick Lawson. You look at the guys that they added to this roster, and you're thinking, man, this team is going to run away with the conference. They've lost three conference games to unranked teams, and one of them they lost by 16 to Iowa State. So I don't blame KU fans one bit for being concerned about this stuff. And I do believe that Bill Self will get things turned around at some point. He'll get them back going again. But is this team going to make a deep run in the tournament? That's all I care about.
Iowa State's I know they're unranked. Like, I'm not really counting Iowa State as like the unranked. Texas is unranked. Iowa State's a
West Virginia is unranked.
West Virginia's not a good a good team. Like, Iowa State's going to be a 5 or 6 seed in the tournament. Iowa State's a legitimately good team.
K-State went to, Ames and knocked them off, man. So, at the time they played them.
K-State also lost to Texas A&M, who,
A very good point,
and
too.
And then, I watch a lot of Missouri basketball. Missouri won at Texas A&M. So, we can play this game with a lot of teams in college basketball. Three, two. I don't know where, I know you went to Blue Springs. This might be an indictment on the Missouri school system. The fact that you don't know that two comes after one That's very concerning.
Hey, I was so close.
I wish that Spectre had told me this during the interview process, that our new producer doesn't know how to count.
I was close. I'll take it.
He can't count. I can't spell. This is not a good show.
Hit number two for you guys. Today was Roger Goodell's State of the League address down in Atlanta. He was, of course, asked about the call that everybody's been talking about in New Orleans.
Coaches and clubs have been very resistant, and there has not been support to date about having a replay official or somebody in New York throw a flag when there's no flag. They have not voted for that in the past. It doesn't mean that we won't. It's something that we're going to put to the competition committee, see if there's an answer to that.
After that, Schefter reported that there is a new proposal that would penalize the challenging team or require a time runoff if the challenge is not successful. Do you guys think that this is the fix that the league needs to make?
I don't think it's the fix that the league needs to make, but I think it's the fix that is going to happen. I would just have radical changes to pass interference. That would probably be my big thing. I think the pass interference is just too strong, but I don't oppose the change to it. I'm all for allowing us to correct obvious mistakes. Like, the reason we like instant replay and the reason that we were for it was to correct obvious mistakes. Now it creates things that are 50-50 subjective. The penalty that happened in the Rams and Saints game is not subjective. I think you sign up for a certain level of human error. I don't sign up for humans to get that wrong and for us in 2019 to have the capability and the ability to fix it and not do it. So I am for whatever corrects the problem that happened in Rams and Saints.
This is a tricky one to me, because I think if we go this route, I think we're going to see a lot more flags in the playoffs. And that's what I don't want to see. I enjoy the fact that they let the teams play in the playoffs, where we saw a ton more flags in the regular season than we did in the playoffs. Told you guys this before. I mean, referees are not graded in the postseason, and so therefore they don't throw as many flags. The league tells them what they're looking for in the regular season from week to week. They throw flags on that stuff because they're micromanaged. I don't want refs micromanaged in the playoffs. Now, the call was obviously a blown call in the Saints-Rams games. Nobody's going to say that. But sometimes officials are just going to make mistakes. I would listen to this potential fix. Now, if you're just going to lose a timeout if you get it wrong on a subjective call, I don't want that. But there's a bigger penalty if you throw the challenge flag, you get penalized, or time gets run off the clock. I would listen to that. But I think they do have to look at it. If you can figure out a way that solves a problem, that call never happens, I'm up for that. I'm just not for, you know, being able to challenge subjective plays. I mean, that's the part that I think is just, you open that box and it's going to be an absolute mess.
Three. I'm going to do the last hit here because this is important. The hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. I keep telling you guys that the biggest story in the country is not the Super Bowl, it's the weather. Listen to this story from NPR about what's happening in Warrensburg, Missouri, right down the street. Listen to what the police are asking people to do.
Good morning, I'm Rachel Martin. Maybe you've heard it's winter and it's cold outside, exceptionally so in parts of the Midwest, which are seeing temperatures in the minus double digits, which is why the Warrensburg Police Department in Missouri would like everyone to cut them a break. They posted on their Facebook page asking the public to keep crime to a minimum over the next 3 days because it's just too cold. Go do yourself and us a favor, stay inside, be nice to each other, and watch reruns of Say Yes to the Dress.
I've never watched that show.
I've never seen it before. I don't plan on saying yes
to
any.
That I have.
I don't plan on saying yes to any dress. So I've never watched it before. You've definitely watched one of those kind of shows with your wife.
I haven't. My wife is into those like detective shows where like the husband like or the wife kills the
hold
husband.
Hold on, turn this down. This might be a bit.
No, this is better.
Hold on, you're telling me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No, hold on. I just want to fully understand because I am a firm believer. Every man in a relationship has had to watch a show with his lady that he doesn't like, but makes her happy.
Sure.
One of those kind of shows. Like, I remember, I have seen...
That is accurate.
I have seen more episodes of Sex and the City. Like, I know their characters. I know the people they've been with. Like, I've watched a lot of Sex and the City in my lifetime.
Yeah.
BK, you've been in a relationship for what, 6 years?
Yeah.
Damn near married at this point. What's the show that your lady loves that you gotta watch?
This is actually it. Say Yes to the Dress is the one that I have to watch.
What is it like? What is that? Like, they pick out dresses and you're like, yeah, oh yes, wear that one. That sounds amazing.
So there's a bunch of shows where, like, you go to, for instance, House Hunters, right? House Hunters, you go to three different houses, you decide which house you want, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's watched, like, a lot of House Hunters, if you could tell me all that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I watched that. I watched some HGTV.
Yeah, yeah, that's all that. That's good stuff. It's the same thing, but with a dress instead of with the house.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
It ain't great.
So, Fanny, you want us to believe.
Yeah.
There has, so is this just with your wife, or in no relationship have you ever had to watch a show with a woman that you didn't want to watch that she liked?
Well, I mean, I'm a homeowner, so we have different rooms with different televisions. So if there's something on, like, I'm not watching it typically. But I have watched them, but nothing like that. Like, if that's on and she's like, if she's watching one of the Real Housewives shows, I'm going in the basement. I'm not watching that. But I have been. You know, like my 600-pound life, for whatever reason, like, my wife loves that. Have you had to watch that too, BK?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, these really obese people, and they go through this whole thing, and then they're sneaking hamburgers and pizzas and ham sandwiches.
I'd much rather watch Say Yes to the Dress than watch that, if I could pick between the two.
Yeah, that, plastic surgery stuff, my wife likes that stuff, which I'm like, I do watch that a little bit because I'm fascinated about how messed up people are.
See, Fanny, part of me thinks you're talking a little tough.
I don't sit there and watch it. Like, it's not appointment television for me. The other ones that my wife constantly watches, and I've talked to buddies about this, and their wives, this is a wife thing.
I'm saying you're telling me that your wife comes home today and says, you know what, babe? I really want to watch Say Yes to the Dress. Come sit down next to me. You're like, no, not doing it. You are going to be right there next to her, rubbing her feet, watching Say Yes to the Dress. Don't lie to us.
No, you'd be surprised.
Be honest.
Man. I'm like, because she comes home with the first thing she always asks me is, like, what game's on tonight? And I'm like, Texas KU. See ya. You know, and then I'm out of there because she doesn't want to watch Texas KU. The one she watches, though, it's like Discovery Investigative, whatever, where there's all, you know, somebody kills somebody or a guy poisons his girlfriend or something. Like,
Criminal Minds type of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm convinced that she has probably anywhere between 20 and 50 different ways that she can kill me if she wants to. Like, that's
what
she's
a woman. She was born with that.
Yeah,
that's instincts.
Are you trying to figure out a way to poison me? Is that what's going on here? But you talk to a bunch of dudes, their wives love that show. Love it. But again, I've got multiple rooms that I can go to and get away from that. Occasionally I will sit down, but you're not locking me in for like 2 hours or something like that.
So, you being the only man that doesn't have to watch any of those shows with this lady.
I don't do it on a consistent basis. That's true.
You also have a message for Bill Self. Hall of Fame coach. How many Final Fours have you been to? Three?
Yeah.
National champion?
Yeah.
And the Naismith Hall of Fame?
That's right.
You, Brad Fanning, got a message for one Bill Self.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Bill Self, he and I have at least one thing in common. I know a few people here and there. And
he probably watches Say Yes to the Dress with his wife.
He and I, neither one of us, neither... I didn't like that team last year. Bill Self didn't like his team last year. All right? So I think Bill knows. Here's what I would say if I'm him. I play the Patriots card in this one. I go full bore Julian Edelman on this Kansas team. Bet against us. I dare you. You know, I go us against the world. This Kansas team that's a blue blood, that's won 14 consecutive Big 12 championships, I think you have a legitimate chance to talk these guys into being the underdog. You're talking to 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and it's Bill Self, one of the greatest salesmen in the history of the world. Bill Self can sell these guys that nobody believes in you. And I think if he sits them down, sells them that, shows them how bad they are on tape, tells them how they got a chance to blow this streak, you're going to be the ones. Nobody thinks you can do it. Look, you lost to a winless West Virginia team on the road. You got smoked by Iowa State. You only led once 9 seconds into the game against Texas. And who are you guys? Like you were supposed to be this great recruit coming out of high school. You're a McDonald's All-American. What are you doing? Now nobody thinks you can do anything. Look what the Zionic man's doing in Duke, man. Look at Zion Williams. Look at, you know, Tennessee's number one. Look at all these other schools. Look what they're doing. And look what we're doing. We've lost to three unranked teams in the Big 12. You guys are going to be the group to screw it up, and everybody thinks that. What are you going to do about it? I play the bet against us card. Absolutely.
But we agree that no one in real life is actually betting against KU. Where with the Patriots, people were actually betting against the Patriots.
It's somewhat. I mean, but you're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time and the greatest coach of all time, and they're trying to sell you that nobody believes in them. Come on. Like people believe in Kansas, but you got to get those kids believing that nobody believes in them. I think that's the only way you get this team back to where you want them to be and go into a Final Four. I know that sounds crazy, but yeah. Like, think about that. You're telling me that people aren't out there, like students on campus, KU fans, are thinking that this team's going to be the one to break the streak.
I think it would be I think it would actually be more corny if KU did that than what, like, New England. Like, New England, there were people that were legitimately bearing the win. You thought they were going to get smoked in the AFC Championship game. Like, people were saying,
I didn't know Andy Reid was going to defer and hand the football to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick right out of the game.
And all this kind of stuff. Like, people had danced on the grave. I don't see a whole lot of grave dancing right now for – this is what I think their problem is. If Bill came to me and he's like, hey, you know what? You're a Missouri fan, so you're definitely neutral and objective in this. Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
You are neutral and objective.
You watch a lot of our games. Absolutely. I go to their games.
Yeah.
He would be like, C-Dot, you know what? I've listened to your show before once or twice. I trust your basketball instinct. You know what I'd tell him? I'd say, you know what? I think this is the time you play the this team is soft card. Listen to what Bill said last night after their game, and Bill's 100% right.
Where to get away? I don't know. Probably, what time did we fly down here yesterday? I don't know that we were ever really good tonight by any stretch. You know, the thing about it is, when you lose, you know, it should really piss you off. And sometimes when it doesn't do that, you're kind of too comfortable sometimes with accepting what happened. And I don't think that we accepted what happened, but I don't think that we've had the same mindset to fight that maybe some of the teams in the past have had.
I will never forget J.C. Pearson when he told me this. He said that you cannot put the dog inside of somebody. You either got it or you don't have it. And yesterday was one of the games that I'm watching KU that I'm expecting the dog to come out. Like, Frank Mason does not let Kansas lose yesterday. If you swap out Dedrick Lawson for Frank Mason, they win that basketball game. Mm-hmm. If you swipe out Devontae Graham, if you swipe out Josh Jackson, guys that I think had the motor, guys that I would consider dogs. To me, this is not a Bill Self problem. This is a player problem. Dedrick Lawson has to be the one to fix this. Vic has to be the one to fix this problem. Vic was terrible for the first 20 minutes of that game. Dedrick Lawson was terrible. Well, they have 4 points in the first 20 minutes of that game. You got your junior.
He was scoreless in the first half, like, right?
You got your junior first team, second team All-American. Dedrick Lawson is legitimately one of the 10 best players in college basketball. Vic, guy that's been around here, four-year player, guys that's played in Final Fours, guys that's won Big 12 championships, a guy that has heard every Bill Self motivational speech that you could possibly hear. This is on you guys. This is on you guys to finish the problem or to fix the problem, because I am a believer that winning on the road is mental, especially when you're a team is talented. Some teams are just not talented enough to do it. Like, I watch a lot of Missouri basketball. They're just not talented enough to go on the road in hostile environments. They don't have the talent to go on the road and do it. No one would deny that this Kansas team with Dedrick Lawson, with Vic, with all the players that they got, that they don't have the talent to go on the road. There's no reason why a team as talented as Kansas is 1-5 on the road. There's no reason why consistently they have been unable to pull away from lesser talented, lower competition kind of teams. So that would be my message. I'm sitting it down. I'm having a players-only meeting with Lawson and Vic. Or I guess first, I would bring those two guys in my locker, and I'm telling them, you got to be leaders. You guys are captains. This team is going to go as far as you are going to take them. Because maybe everybody else noticed this. The only person that appeared to have that dog last night was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Was a kid that was supposed to be a redshirt this year. The Abaji kid from Oak Park was the only one that, to me, appeared to have the attitude of, we are not losing today. I don't care if I got to take 15 shots. I don't care that I wasn't supposed to play this season. I don't care that Udoka's not here. I don't care what's happening with Silvio De Sousa. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that we don't lose this game. That's the same attitude that you got to have. You got to have your senior leaders, your upperclassmen. They got to have that mentality on the road. You got to have some dogs with you in this fight.
But here's the problem with senior leadership. He got one on it. It's LeGerald Vick, and it's a guy that Self didn't even want on the team and gave his number away. You know, I'm with you on Dedrick Lawson. He's got to be better. Like, Dedrick Lawson is the guy that I'm going to turn to lead. It's not going to be LeGerald Vick. I think one of the worst things that happened to Kansas was LeGerald Vick coming out and looking like a freak show right out of the gate. You know, and hanging. What did he put on Villanova? It was, gosh, he put 29 on Villanova back in December. Hung 33 on Louisiana early in the season, 32 on Vermont, 27 against Stanford. You know, so, yeah, you can't depend on LeGerald Vick. So, talking to Dedrick Lawson and Vick is fine, But I think the two guys you got to sit down and talk to, because I think the two guys who are going to make this team go are Quentin Grimes and Dotson. You got two freshman guards. You don't have veteran leadership. You got a junior in Mitch Lightfoot. I'm sorry.
I think you're actually writing Lajero Vick off a little bit prematurely, because I'm thinking back to KU teams in years past. I was thinking last
Lajero
year.
Lajero Vick does not scream leader to me.
I know, but I'm thinking of the complaints that KU fans had about Wayne Seldon. You remember, KU fans love to complain about Wayne Seldon. He eventually figured it out in a KU uniform. I remember the complaining about Tyshawn Taylor, would never figure it out. He eventually figured it out. I remember the complaining last year about Malik Newman. So do we not trust Self here in the last 6 weeks to figure out a way to get the absolute most of Lajero Vick? I'm still holding out that hope.
Vic's going to be okay, but you need your two freshman guards. You need Grimes and Dotson. Those are the guys that I'm calling in. Listen, man, we're in a spot here. We've lost three of our last four. Azubuike ain't coming back. You guys are the guys driving the boat, man. And I know you're freshmen, but too stinking bad, man. You got to come out there and you got to play like juniors and seniors. We need you guys to drive the ship, because those guys aren't doing it. And I get it that they're freshmen. But, man, they're good. They're talented. They come in here, and they don't look like they belong right now. Those two guys are really struggling. And they don't have a bunch of upperclassmen.
Grimes has been terrible.
Yeah. And, I mean, you saw him earlier in the season. He looked like a god. You know, and now all of a sudden Grimes I don't know who he is right now. And those are the two dudes that are going to be driving the ship. So Dedrick Lawson could be Dedrick Lawson. I think he's going to be okay. I'm not worried about him. Vic's going to be Vic. I don't think he's a great leader. He's the one senior you have. But it's Grimes and Dotson, to me, are the two dudes that need to grow up and grow up fast.
I want to play this for you. This is Gary Parrish of CBS Sports. This is where I don't think the NCAA is doing Kansas a lot of favors. I think what they're doing with Silvio DeSosa is wrong. Like, flat out wrong. Now, I don't have all the information. Maybe Silvio DeSosa was in the middle of it and he accepted this money. But based on the information that I've read, based on what everybody is saying about this, I have no reason to believe that Silvio DeSosa took the money. And if he did, it was $2,500.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Let's not make it seem like this was some blue chips. They dropped the duffel bag off. At least tell us what the penalty is with Silvio DeSosa. Mm-hmm. If he owes back money, allow him to pay it back and then just say, hey, this is your penalty. Think about what happened with Selby. He had some benefits. He was out for a short period of time. Like, what the NCAA is doing and keeping one of its model marquee franchises, one of its blue blood programs, one of its flagship programs, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. There's no reason to leave those programs hanging in the wind. This has not been a two-week problem. This has not been a three-week problem. This has been a three-month problem. Silvio DeSosa got, banned in October?
Yeah.
It's almost February. How we have absolutely no answer, no more information, not even a timetable for the NCAA of we will have a decision to you by X date. Mm-hmm. It's just wrong. And what they're doing in Kansas, I think, is wildly unfair. Here's what Gary Parrish had to say about it on his podcast.
I hate amateurism rules. The concept is outdated. It's morally rules are in place. I don't see how you enforce them if you allow players to play, even though their amateur status is compromised, just because there's no evidence that they knew what was happening.
I think you guys know my stance on this. You've been listening to the show long enough when it comes to amateurism and playing players and all that kind of stuff. But even if you are on the, you don't want to pay them, that's perfectly fine. Man, you shouldn't be losing your college eligibility over less than $3,000. Allow him to pay it back. This is the penalty. You're out for 15 games. You're out for non-conference. There's no reason why the NCAA, for the fourth, fifth time, has just left Kansas completely in the wind. This team would be so drastically different if you had Silvio DeSosa. I know Udoka's not coming back because of the injury. More than anything, this KU team probably needs two things, other than the dog mentality. They probably need shooters. Silvio's not going to fix that. They need a rim protector. How many times yesterday was Texas just doing pick and roll, moving guys around, and then you would have Marcus Garrett down in the post just getting absolutely bodied down there?
Yeah.
You need some more big bodies. David McCormick is not getting it done for you. Yeah. Mitch Lightfoot is not good enough. Dedrick, I think we know, he's not the bang around in the low post kind of guy. He's more that swing four, play out, shoot threes, mm-hmm. that perimeter kind of guy. You need a big body down there in the paint. At least give Kansas an answer. If he's not coming back, then tell us. We never got to talk about it. We can talk about how unfair the NCAA is, and we can move on from it. But to leave KU in limbo is wildly unfair by the NCAA.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating how slow it works. And it's not just in the DeSosa thing. You know, it's been in the Billy Preston situation. Cliff Alexander, you name it. I mean, the NCAA takes way too long for this stuff. And that's the part to me that's really frustrating. I think DeSosa deserves an answer. I think KU deserves an answer. I think the NCAA needs to be more transparent with this stuff. You and I are on different sides on a lot of stuff when it comes to the NCAA and paying players. But on this one, I'm with you, C-Dot. I mean, it's time for $2,500. Like, this thing needs to be figured out. This seems like a very solvable problem, at least based on the information that we know.
One thing, too, here, and last thing on KU is I blame myself for not giving it enough credit at how much easier the game Udoka made for the other guys on his team. Now, we talk about some of KU's biggest problems when it comes to scoring. Man, it was a lot easier for Vic whenever teams were so focused on Udoka, they're doubling down, they're kind of triple, or they're double-teaming, they're bringing a guy from the backside to just kick it back out. He gets an open three that just opened the game up for everybody. I think maybe the biggest adjustment KU was having is they don't have a lot of guys that can create their own shot. Like, you knew late in the shot clock that Devontae could go get his own shot. Josh Jackson could go get his own shot. Frank Mason could go get his own shot. How many guys on this KU team do you legitimately think shot clock's running down, 10 seconds left, 8 seconds left, you got to go get a basket for this team? That's one of KU's biggest problems right now. Like, Lawson's not that kind of kid. Lawson's not a I can go get my own basket consistently kind of player. Like, that's probably the thing this KU team needs more than anybody is somebody that can consistently get their own shot and generate their own offense.
And I think Vic did that earlier in the season, but he's not doing it now because Azubuike's out, right? At least that's part of it. And he's just
that's actually probably the biggest part.
Yeah, and I don't think he's a guy that I want to depend heavily on. I don't want Vic having the basketball with the game on the line either. KU doesn't have that guy. You know, so to me, that's why I think Dotson and Grimes have to grow up quick. They got to grow up fast. And I know it's not fair and all that stuff because DeSosa's out, Azubuike's hurt, but it's time for those two guys to play bigger than freshmen. That's what they have to do if KU's going to make a legitimate run in the tournament. I'm not worried about the conference. I think KU will be fine. They're probably going to win the conference. But to me, you know, when I saw this team early on in the season, when they had everybody healthy and everybody rolling and Quentin Grimes was playing so well, I thought, man, this could be the year. I mean, this could be a legitimate national championship contender. And now I just don't feel that way.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Don't turn that dial. Plus, the Broncos really want Drew Locke, and I'm very happy to know that Andy Reid and I are on the exact same page. I'll tell you what that is coming up. It's the drive. A really interesting story just popped up on my timeline. I'll share it with you guys coming up in a little bit that concerns the Kansas City Chiefs. But first, it is your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word GIVE, G-I-V-E, as if you can give me some of the money you win in the national cash contest if you win. Text GIVE to 72881. That's GIVE. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win 1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both. Weekdays, 7A to 7P. It pays listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
Huh?
Text the word GIVE, G-I-V-E, GIVE to 72881. Your national cash contest code word for 530 is GIVE. So, this story just popped up on my timeline. I think it will interest Chiefs fans. Quote, I just want to apologize to everybody for asking for the trade in the middle of the season. I'm here to stay, baby. That was Patrick Peterson. He said that today. He said, last season was definitely hard on me as the losses piled up and my frustration grew with the defensive scheme that prevented him from traveling with the other team's best receiver. Let me tell you this, Patrick, that wasn't going to happen with this Chiefs system. You were never going to be doing that with Bob Sutton. He said that he talked to the team president after the Steve Wilks firing and the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach and Vance Joseph as defensive coordinator, and it has put him in a good place. Quote, I think we're definitely moving in the right direction. I'm happy with the decisions that ownership's made this offseason. So, I remember during the trade deadline, that was a player that Kansas City desperately wanted. Now, as you think the trade deadline is kind of open back up. There is no deadline. You can make a trade if you want. Chiefs fans were going to ask about Patrick Peterson. Certainly now singing a very different tune than he was in the middle of the season when he appeared to be very unhappy with the situation with the Cardinals.
Yeah, and there was some... He kind of said he did, and then he didn't, and then he was kind of wavering back and forth. I don't blame him for asking for the trade. You know, I don't blame that one bit, and then he kind of went back on his word. So, I mean, this is a guy, I don't blame him for not wanting to be a part of a rebuild, and it was a mess in Arizona. And I think if the Chiefs get Patrick Peterson, they probably go to the Super Bowl, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of obvious what happened with Patrick Peterson. He was emotional.
Yeah.
I think he was mad at what was happening, said, I don't want to be here. I think his employer told him, you're under contract and we're not trading you. Yeah. You got to think, a lot of the trade stuff was kind of one-sided. And everybody that was in the know, Ian Rappaport never really suggested they were going to trade him. Adam Schefter never suggested they were going to trade him. I think Patrick Peterson was mad, vocalized it to his agent. His agent kind of put that out there. Hey, my client wants to be traded. And then, no, we're not trading you. What are you going to do in that scenario? Are you just going to stop showing up to work? Yeah. Like, you didn't really have a choice in this scenario. So I know we all went through this pipe dream of having Patrick Peterson, but I don't really think it was realistic that the Chiefs were ever going to get Patrick Peterson because no team was going to get Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, but I think he's the one that started the whole thing by coming out and saying that, though, right? Agreed. Yeah, and so I think that's what got everything started with him. But, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, it's going to be tough for the Chiefs to acquire a really, really good corner in the offseason, right? I mean, that's going to be tough. You know, and are they going to draft that guy?
I don't think it's going to be that tough if they're willing to trade significant draft picks to do it.
Yeah. Are they willing to do that, though? And I would hope that they would be willing to do that because, as I've said before, I mean, I don't trust the Chiefs to draft and develop defensive guys right now.
So earlier today, we talked about this a little bit. And I want to talk about it for the guys in the 5 o'clock audience. Matt Miller thinks that Drew Locke and the Broncos could be a match.
I can tell you, I've heard the same thing, that John Elway is in love with Drew Locke. He was on the field throughout Senior Bowl practices. He was paying close attention to the quarterback drills. I like to play Where's Waldo when we're sitting up in the BR suite and look for executives and then follow them. You've seen me do this at games. It's one of my favorite things. And every time I saw John Elway, he was watching the quarterbacks. Every freaking time. So I think that there's a lot of smoke to this right now. And How do you feel about Drew Locke as a potential, like, I think top 10 is where this guy's going to go. I'm not going to go ahead and report he's going to go top 10. I think Melo did that 2 weeks ago, but I'm on top of this with him. I think Drew Locke goes top 10.
Brandon, you know this because you covered Missouri recently. It's not like Elway's infatuation with Drew Locke has been private or hidden.
Yeah.
They have loved Drew Locke for 2 years, and now you got the opportunity to take him. You got a top 10 pick. That's kind of where I'm thinking, but it does seem a little bit fishy. I can't think of a time of a team that didn't have the number one overall pick. It'd be different if no team could jump ahead of the Broncos. And if you love Drew Locke, no team can stop you from taking Drew Locke. You pick 10th, and there's only two teams ahead of you that need a quarterback. What's stopping a team like New Orleans that doesn't have their quarterback of the future in place, still has their quarterback playing at a high level? I mean, the Saints are kind of primed to do the exact same thing that Kansas City just did with Mahomes. You take Drew Locke. You got Drew Brees playing this year. Maybe he plays next year, too. You then hand the reins over to Drew Locke. You then give Sean Payton his quarterback of the future. Drew Locke can play indoors. Like, Drew Locke can have a lot of success in that scenario. What's stopping that? Like, the Broncos, they're not necessarily being hidden or private about how much they want Drew Locke. And yesterday we talked to Benjamin Albright that just said it flat out, that Drew Locke will not fall past 10 if he's available.
I'll say this, he won't get past 10. If he's there at 10, the Broncos will take him. He won't get past that. Now, whether they would have to move up or whether another team may move up to try to get him, it's still a little early in the process to kind of tell. You know, there's several different players, you know, in place right behind the Broncos as well as potentially in front of them. You look at the Giants, although they're probably keyed in on Haskins, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars, although they're probably going to go Nick Foles in free agency. So, you know, there's some things that need to shake out and play out here over the course of the next, you know, kind of 30 days or so before we really know where these guys are going to kind of fall to.
So that was Benjamin Albright, who covers the Denver Broncos. At least the smoke, the direction appears to be the Broncos are gearing to make a move or draft Drew Locke.
Yeah, and it is odd that John Elway's coming out and he's so vocal about this. And BK was telling us when he was covering Mizzou games that he saw Elway in the press box watching this stuff. You know, and keeping an eye on Drew Locke, he's been watching him for a long time. So when this stuff pops up, I started looking at the top 10. Arizona's not going to draft a quarterback. They got their guy. The 49ers have Jimmy G. The Jets have Sam Darnold. I still don't think the Raiders are going to go after Drew Locke. I think they can make it work with Derek Carr. Tampa Bay is a team to me at number 5 that, you know, you got Jameis Winston going in the last year of his rookie deal. I think that's a possibility. Jameis Winston's been a giant pain in the ass for the Buccaneers, and in my opinion, has underachieved greatly. The Giants at 6 are the one that really, really gets my attention because they need a quarterback. I mean, Eli's 105 years old right now. He's done. They've got Saquon Barkley. Jacksonville's a possibility. Detroit's not. Buffalo's not. And then there's Denver at 10. The oddest thing about this whole thing, and we usually don't hear all this misinformation until we get closer to the draft, but the oddest thing about this is that Elway and the Broncos are so public about how they feel about Drew Lock. To me, that's strange. I don't know. I mean, I believe it, but I feel like they've got to have an alternate agenda.
Yeah, I mean, what could the alternate agenda be? Like, the Broncos need a quarterback. It's not like they're San Francisco that's trying to tell you, hey, we really like Drew Lock. No, you don't. You got Jimmy Garoppolo. You're not doing anything. Like, the Broncos, we agree, have a clear need. I'm kind of looking at the Broncos.
But I would get it, though, C-Dot, if there weren't teams above them that needed a quarterback.
I think they're just bad at keeping this stuff private. Like, think about last offseason, the Kirk Cousins pursuit. That was out there from, like, mid-season.
So they're just dumb.
The fact that they were
going to
fire their coach. We knew that in, like, week four.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just bad at this stuff, I think. And the worst thing for if you're a Broncos fan, which our audience mostly isn't, teams like the Dolphins or the Redskins, who are right behind them, those are ripe teams to go up and move up for a quarterback as well. So they're setting themselves up to be the team that other teams know they have to jump in order to get this guy.
I'd be really curious to know what Vegas will place on the odds that the Broncos trade up to get Drew Lock. Because I forgot the number off the top of my head, and I can go back and look it up. Like, 13 of the last 14 quarterbacks, aside from guys that were number one overall picks, like the Browns didn't have to trade up to get Baker Mayfield. Sure. He was there at number one. Like, 13 of the last 14 quarterbacks that did not go number one overall, their team had to trade up to go get him. That the odds suggest, because of the scarcity of good quarterbacks and the thirst for them, if you really like Drew Lock, if you're Denver, you are not going. He's not just going to casually fall to you at 10. You probably got to go up ahead of the Giants, ahead of Jacksonville, and then you got to make a move from 10 to 4 to go get Drew Lock if you think he's the guy for your organization.
Yeah, if that's the case, Brent, I mean, then the Broncos are just dumb. You know, I mean, and I never pegged John Elway for being dumb. I'll criticize him for picking the wrong quarterbacks. We've seen him do that, you know, on multiple occasions with Osweiler and with Paxton Lynch. But I never, like, that to me, if that's what John Elway's become, John Elway's going to get fired in Denver. Because if you can't hold things in-house and you basically put your game plan out there for your draft and it's January 30th, or what, almost 4 months away from this thing, then that's just stupid. I mean, that's dumb on Denver's.
Let me ask you this, and I know that you're not a big fan of Kirk Cousins.
Not.
Do you think that Drew Lock will be better or worse than Kirk Cousins?
That's a really good question.
I kind of feel like Kirk Cousins is probably the best NFL comparison for Drew Lock.
Yeah. Man, I don't know.
Like, everybody's doing Cutler. Like, no, he's not those. Kirk Cousins, to me, as a passer, I think Cousins is probably a little bit more accurate than Drew Lock is, but just Lock has a bigger arm than him. Do you think Drew Lock will be a better or worse NFL quarterback than Kirk Cousins?
I think he has a chance to be better. Drew Lock to me seems like a winner. Even though he hadn't won a ton at Missouri, he seems like more of a winner, more of a football player than Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is great at winning money and not winning big games. You know, Drew Lock to me screams winner and football player to me more than Kirk Cousins.
Coming up in just a little bit, we had a poll question up. We'll get you the results. Who would you be more upset to see win Super Bowl MVP, Tom Brady or Marcus Peters? We'll tell you the results of that poll coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
We've got a poll question up right now. Who would you least like to see win Super Bowl MVP? Is it Tom Brady or Marcus Peters? We'll get you the results on that coming up momentarily. But, Brad Fanning, you can bet at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, is this the year that KU will lose the Big 12? Yes is plus 110. So, for those of you that don't gamble, that means if you bet $100, the KU will win the Big 12, you will win $110. No is actually the favorite. Vegas is telling you they don't think KU's winning the Big 12. They're giving you no at minus 130. That means, for those of you that don't gamble, you have to bet $130 to win $100. Fanning.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a free flight.
Yeah.
You're flying Spirit because I'm broke.
Okay.
And I'm giving you a free play down at Caesar's Palace.
So you're paying for the bet. I don't have to pay anything.
I'm paying for the bet.
Yeah, then I'm betting against him.
You betting the yes or the no.
How can I win more money?
I mean, you have to put up more. I mean, you have to put up more money on no because it's the favorite. But
yeah. But you're paying for it, right?
I'm giving you.
Yeah.
I will give you the $130 on no, or I'll give you the $100 to bet yes. Which one are
and
you taking?
And I can win more money if I bet no, correct?
If you bet yes, you would win.
Oh, then I'll bet
$100.
Yes.
If you bet $100 on yes, you would win $110.
Yeah, then
you have to bet $130.
No, then I'm betting.
To win $100 on no.
I mean, part of me wants you to lose your money. So, I mean, that's a tough one. I'd like to see you lose $130. I mean, I think that would be great. But, yeah, I'll take yes then. I would bet yes.
Because they're going to win the conference.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to win the conference.
Yeah, they are.
This kind of reminds me of, just a little bit, of what you were doing with the Colts. How you were, like, all worried about the Colts. But then on Friday, you were then confident enough to pick them. Like, yeah. I keep hearing this, oh, I'm worried about Kansas with X.
But it's not the conference,
man. But then it's at the end, it's like, well, they're going to win the conference.
It's not the
conference. Ain't that worried.
It's not the conference that I care about. It's the NCAA tournament. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that. It's the NCAA tournament that concerns me. I have pretty high expectations for this KU team, and it doesn't look like they're going to live up to them. Part of it's because Azubuike's hurt, for sure. Part of it's because DeSosa can't get on the court. But the other part of it is they're just not playing well. They've got talented young guys, and they're not playing good basketball.
Can we at least admit this? Can we – if they win the Big 12 this year, can we never have these conversations ever again?
Okay, like, that's fair.
If they turn it around next year whenever they have their swoon and they look like a normal college team,
yeah.
I don't want the – oh, no, stop it. This is the last year I'm willing to entertain this stuff.
But you're not hearing me, though, man. I'm not talking about the conference here. I think KU will win the conference.
I know, but I'm saying – I guess I'm saying is I don't think you need to be playing well in January to play well in March. So I'm not really basing that for any team.
Okay.
I'm not basing it on Duke. I'm not basing it on Kentucky because it's January.
But we're talking about a team that doesn't have – that you said doesn't have leadership and doesn't have any dogs. That doesn't sound like a team to me that's going to make a deep run in March.
Yeah, and I remember last year saying that I thought KU could be good, and you kept telling me this team's not good. This team's not good enough. And then magically they were good enough. So, like,
all of
I feel
sudden,
like
Malik Newman drank some magic juice or something, man.
Yeah, something tells me they'll just find that magic juice this year because they always have it. All right, Brandon Kiley, we put up a poll on our Twitter account, 610 Sports Twitter account. I know I said that all wrong, but you guys follow it. Who would you least like to see win Super Bowl MVP, Tom Brady or Marcus Peters? Fanning actually picked – you picked Brady. You don't want to see – I'm saying is who would you least like to see?
Yeah, it was Tom Brady.
You picked Brady over Peters.
Yeah, I want Peters to win the MVP. I think that'd be entertaining as hell because I want to see what he does. And my hope is that if Marcus Peters wins it and he stays the same dude that he's been all week so far at the Super Bowl, then Marcus Peters is going to make himself a hell of a lot of money. So, and I think Marcus Peters winning Super Bowl MVP and picking off Tom Brady, getting a little pick six off the GOAT, I would love to see that. Absolutely.
Something tells me, though, he would get the pick six, and then he would act like Marcus
Peters. I know. That's the other
part
of it.
And then you'd be mad at Marcus Peters. There's 100% chance that football's going into the stands.
Yeah, oh, totally. 100% chance. Is he going to punt it? Is that what he's probably going to punt at the stands? I mean,
that time I would actually be more mad at him than when the other times, like, yo, you just threw money away. Like, literally threw money away. Like, I actually don't think they're fighting in the Super Bowl for doing that, but, yo, you got the Super Bowl MVP pick six ball, and you threw it in the stands for a fan. You're dumb.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's silly. Don't do that.
Yeah, I hope Marcus Peters doesn't do that. It would be such a Peters thing to do.
I want Peters to win MVP so bad just to see what the reaction is on the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Me too.
Like, I want him to win so bad.
I told you guys, like, my biggest frustration with Marcus Peters is a really talented guy that can't control his emotions, and I think he self-sabotages a lot, and I hate it.
I mean, he played really well the second half of the season.
He looked really good. Yeah, after that Saints game. And especially
when he was healthy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he said he was healthy the entire time, too. I mean, he got irritated when he was asked about that. But, I'd like to see Peters win it. And I want to see how he handles it. I'm really curious to see how he does it because, I mean, the Rams picked up the fifth-year option on him. And after that, who knows, right? So I think Peters has a chance to make himself a hell of a lot of money if he wins the MVP and he doesn't do something. Excuse me, too crazy.
I mean, I think he's just going to be Marcus Peters. Like, I think Marcus Peters is still Marcus Peters, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
All right, who won the poll?
All right, so the way that we phrased it on Twitter, who would you rather see MVP
my bad. So
of the Super Bowl?
I've been saying it wrong.
It's all good. 58% of the audience went with, what would you guess, C-Dot?
Brady.
Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
58% say Marcus Peters, 42% Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I don't give the listeners enough credit then. You know what? I apologize. Because I was certain Brady was winning.
I don't want to see Tom. Aw, shucks, boy. This is a great. I don't want to see that. I want to see him throw a microphone in front of Marcus Peters after he wins the MVP. I would love to see. I can't wait to see that.
I don't think he's winning Super Bowl MVP. I mean, right now you want to talk about gambling. It's like 125-1. So, like, if you bet $10 on Marcus Peters, you can win $1,000 on him winning MVP. So, he ain't going to win MVP.
I mean, D-backs have won. Larry Brown comes to mind for the Dallas Cowboys against the Steelers back in the day in the 90s. I mean, it can happen. I mean, more than likely it's not going to happen, but more than likely Brady's going to win the MVP and not Marcus Peters. But the question was, who would you rather see win the MVP?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little surprised to see that you're rooting for Marcus Peters in the Super Bowl.
I want to listen. Peters drove me nuts, okay, with a lot of the stuff that he did. I want to see Peters grow up and be a great pro and make a ton of money in this league. I think he's super talented. I would love to see that. I would love to have seen it in Kansas City, you know, but it just wasn't going to work here with some of the stuff that was going on. And I think, you know, we see Bob Sutton gone. Maybe I would have been curious to see if Marcus Peters could have survived here with a new defensive coordinator too. But, I want to see talented players be great, man. And I think a lot of the stuff around Marcus Peters, you know, it kind of drowned out the talent that he had. So, yeah, I would like to see Marcus Peters win it. I really would.
I want to play for this really quickly. This was Roger Goodell talking earlier today about where the NFL goes when it comes to their officiating issue.
We will look again at instant replay. There have been a variety of proposals over the last, 15, 20 years of should replay be expanded. It does not cover judgment calls. This was a judgment call. The other complication is that it was a no call. And our coaches and clubs have been very resistant, and there has not been support to date about having a replay official or somebody in New York throw a flag when there's no flag. They have not voted for that in the past. It doesn't mean that we won't. It's something that we're going to put to the competition committee, see if there's an answer to that. But the reality is that's been at least an opposition philosophically for many clubs.
I think the start of football season 2019, I think we're going to look at a radical way that instant replay is governed. I really think that. I think that what happened in the Rams and Saints game was too big. Way too many people were watching. Way too many people were complaining about it to not think that the NFL's to think that the NFL is not going to do anything about it. I think either you're going to be able to review penalties or it's just going to be governed under instant replay. I 100% think that's happening.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If I was the NFL, I wouldn't do that. I think one guy missed a call, and I think it comes down to that. And you're going to miss judgment calls all the time. And my fear is that if you start doing instant replays on penalties, that referees are going to start throwing more flags, and it'll start slowing games down even more.
I'm actually surprised, just given the fact of in baseball you don't really like officiating and you want more checks and balances. I'm surprised you're against a system that would hold officials more accountable.
Here's the problem, though. In baseball, my issue is with the strike zone, that every umpire has their own separate strike zone. That drives me nuts. Just call it the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way I feel about baseball. With pass interference, I mean, it's so hard. You know, because you could call pass interference just like you call holding on almost every single play. You know, so now if officials or line judges or whoever, and they're worried about, man, this might get reviewed, I'm throwing the flag to be on the safe side. You know, I think we're going to see more penalty flags
But isn't part of the beauty of baseball, isn't it kind of wrapped in the concept of some pitchers get that outside corner that I don't know if you as a baseball fan.
I don't like that.
I'm just
either.
Saying, I don't know if you as a baseball fan wanted to have a perfect strike zone where every single pitch has to be in this hypothetical box. I don't know if you want that either. So we signed up to some subjectivity. But I'm with you. I am all for more accountability from officials. So if we can eliminate or find a system that can eliminate what happened, I'm with you when it comes to judgment call, that we've signed up for some level of human error in the game.
Yeah.
Man, none of us have signed up for a call to be blown in the spot, which happened in Rams and Saints, which has a billions of dollars of effect. Teams not going to Super Bowls, radio stations not making money. Like, billions of dollars in commerce was traded in one team going to Super Bowl and not. So if we can find a system that can eliminate that and then help the NFL as a whole, I am all for it.
How about the guy just throws the flag and doesn't miss the call, and then we don't have a problem here? I think it was one guy made a mistake. I think that's what it comes down to, really. So I don't think we need to overthink this thing like we overthought the whole catch deal, and you've got to complete the process and survive the ground and all this other crap.
But then they also fixed it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this year the catch problem was resolved.
Yeah, but I mean, but before they had to go, they had to come up with all these different phrases.
It was bad. I agree. It was bad.
So I just think they're gonna overthink this. They ought to discuss it, but I don't think you should be able to review penalties, especially non-calls.
Coming up after us, it is Bink at Night, my guy Jay Binkley. Do us a favor, check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. Also available on iTunes. Do us a favor, download the radio.com app. Back again tomorrow, getting you ready for the Super Bowl. It's a drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.